Well, you want to keep 2018 scam-free? Our guests have some suggestions for doing just that. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Time for our monthly look at consumer protection issues. Michelle Reinen in the studio with me. She's been here many a time. She directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Joining us for the first time, Jared Albrecht is the Senior Communications Specialist within DACAP, and he's along to help out here and to answer your questions, and maybe you might think you've been scammed or want to know how to avoid it. I hope you'll give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Michelle Reinen, welcome back.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Larry.
Happy New Year to you as well. And Gerald, Jared Albrecht, welcome. First time. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're a legend. It's an honor.
Well, I tell you what. Tell us a little bit about what you do. You're a senior communications specialist.
Sure.
What do you do within the department? What's your role there?
I work with the media. I write press releases and set up interviews for our representatives in the bureaus of weights and measures, business trade practices, and consumer protection. A lot of it's consumer protection related. So for the last 6+ years, I've been helping Michelle and Sandy before me, getting set up with notes for the show so we'd be ready to come in here and tackle the issues of the day.
Well, it's good. What's your favorite part of your job, by the way?
People bake a lot at the office. I really like working with the media. It's been interesting. I didn't have a lot of background in it before. It's kind of been trial by fire, and it's been fun to help share stories with folks.
Well, welcome aboard. It's great to have you with us. As we look at 2018 and making it scam-free, what do we need to do? Lots of resources, I think, out there. Michelle, turn to you.
Well, everyone's thinking resolutions, how to kick off the year, and we thought this was a perfect opportunity to try and highlight ways we can try and help consumers avoid the scams by learning from the past year. So, you know, there's a few different areas and ways to look at this. If you are looking for something, you know, you're going out and you're seeking to purchase a big item, a small item, whatever it may be, there's steps you can take to avoid pitfalls there, such as doing your research, making sure that you get references, get everything in writing, check a company's complaint history, know the details about your purchase, make sure that you're comparing apples to apples to apples instead of having an orange thrown in there type situation. So that's one side of it. The other is the scams, the things that come out of the blue and hit you unexpectedly that you could potentially fall for because they seem so enticing. The common threads that we see over the years with all of these scams, no matter what it is, if it's, you know, your computer's giving off a virus, the IRS is after you, your utilities are going to be cut off, you know, your car warranty is about to expire and you need to extend it, no matter what, they have these common threads. It's a phone call, text message, email, or letter out of the blue, unsolicited, unanticipated. You weren't even thinking about that topic. There's pressure. It's urgent, time sensitive, needs to be dealt with right away. The offer is a limited time, so they all contain an aspect of pressure. They play on your emotions. So they may threaten you. They threaten you with the government coming after you, threaten you with jail time. The grandparent scam, it threatens your family's well-being, you know, your grandchild being in harm's way. So there's that emotional aspect of the scam. And then another big one that we see is that it asks you for something. Whether it be your personal information. I mean, if they're calling you out of the blue, what do they need your information for? So they're asking you to give that up. Or it asks you to wire money. Again, back to the urgency. You need to pay for it right now. So wire me money. Pay by a gift card. I mean, the IRS, it does not deal in iTunes gift cards. But we've seen over the years, and especially in 2017 and 16, that it really, that scam really morphed into paying by gift card. And that's not the way companies do business. So, you know, recognizing those warning signs, red flags, alerts, so you can really just disengage. If you've engaged in the phone call, text message, don't click links, hang up the phone, don't answer type situation.
You know, I was thinking about the new tax laws that are coming into effect this year, and just thinking about our show today, I was thinking, you know, I bet you there's some smart crooks out there that are trying to figure out new ways that they can use the changes in the tax law to relieve people of their money.
I'm sure. You know, we start to track what the phone calls are and the trends, and right now we haven't seen any patterns, but I am sure come tax filing time, there will be confusion thrown out there.
Yeah.
And when people need answers to questions so they can understand what they should do, because people want to do right.
Sure.
That's going to lend to some new scams creations between 17 and 18 tax laws and filings and things. So I'm sure in future shows we'll be able to highlight what those latest scams are.
Well, Data Privacy Day is coming up January 28th, I think. Jared, tell us a little about Data Privacy Day.
Well, Data Privacy Day was started in the United States and Canada in January of 2008. It's actually an extension of what was called Data Protection Day in Europe. So we're a little bit behind them in getting this going. But yeah, it's been going for, what did we count? It's not really the 10th anniversary. I guess it would make this the 11th anniversary,
yeah.
I suppose. But yeah, it's just a chance for people to think about how their personal information is used and how it's shared and collected in this, you know, this digital society. And it asks people to think about how they're sharing that and steps they could take to kind of tighten the security around that information.
And you know, what are some of the things we should keep in mind to protect that personal information?
Well, for starters, before you even worry about what you're putting out there through your devices, you should think about the security of the devices. I mean, this is something that's been talked about a lot of times on this show, about keeping your antivirus and your operating systems up to date. And that's step one, is to make sure that you're going to battle with the best tools that you've got available. You know, long, complex passwords, that's been talked about a lot as well, and keeping your devices set for locks and unlocks with passcodes. So before you even start to put information online, you know at least your device that you're using is secure and people aren't going to be, you know, manipulating that information through that means. You know, beyond that, when you're actually sharing information, you want to think before you post. Just remember that things that go out there on the internet are probably there to stay for the most part.
Yeah.
So be careful about the information that you're sharing. You know, look at the privacy settings for the different web services you use. And Facebook in particular has a lot of different ways that you can manipulate who can and can't see the things you're posting. So for Facebook and Twitter and accounts like that, make sure that you've looked at your security settings and thought them through. And then beyond that, just the same kind of things Michelle was talking about. Keep that personal information
yeah.
private. Be careful what you post and just, you know, just think before you act.
Yeah, and you know, it's really kind of confusing. I mean, just take Facebook. I mean, it's a little bit of work involved just to figure out, as you were talking about, to figure out how to actually navigate through the system. I mean, it takes a little bit of time, and it's just not one click.
No, it's not. And even before this session here today, I was looking around in the settings just to kind of refamiliarize myself. It'd been a while since I've looked at my account settings. Because there's, you know, one thing that is of interest is that the apps that you use throughout the internet can also access information through Facebook. You give it that ability to do that. That's right there in the settings too. You can control all these different types of things. But again, like you just said, you have to familiarize yourself with those settings.
For sure. Well, Lydia in Manitowoc has a comment or a question for us. So let's go there. Lydia, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling to just say I get a lot of phone calls, and they're numbers that I don't know, and they're not in my contacts. And I will just never answer, because if it's someone that really needs to talk to you, they will leave a message. So it seems seems like there shouldn't be, if people just didn't answer those calls, there would be no issue with being scammed over the phone, just to not do that. And then my other, I have a question about, I have been to two different stores where I have shopped a couple times each, and twice in both of these stores, they have overcharged me. I check my receipt, and I'm wondering, what do you do about stores that overcharge?
Michelle, let's turn to you for that.
Well, thank you for calling, Lydia. The first part, just thanks for sharing your story and how you deal with the phone calls. Because as far as a scam-free 2018, you know, what we talked about, sharing stories and making sure that everyone's aware of what's happening is one of the best steps. And we can get to, we have lots of fact sheets to help people guide through. But by not answering, you will see that you will likely lessen the amount of calls that you get too, because you're not going to end up on different lead lists. As to stores overcharging, Wisconsin has some really good laws in place as it relates to lowest advertised price and equipment working well. And we have a sister bureau in our division, the Bureau of Weights and Measures, that deals with, we have inspectors out there every day checking gas pumps and scanners and pricing. We work on the advertising side of things. So you can call Consumer Protection and they'll transfer you over to Weights and Measures to file a report and a complaint about those stores and what's experiencing, and then an inspector will go check that out. So our toll-free number is 1-800-422-7128. And again, if you call there, you want to talk to the Weights and Measures Bureau and they'll transfer you over and take that information over the phone on the overcharge. And then if it ends up being an advertisement issue, then it'll end up in our bureau. But we work really closely together on those issues.
Right. Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. You can join in too, by the way, with your question, comment, or maybe experience to share. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Karen emailed, just kind of go along with what Lydia was talking about. Karen emailed to say she received a phone call on her cell phone a few days ago. It was a local number, so she answered. The caller said, I just got a call from this number and wanted to know who was calling. Karen hadn't called that number, so she said, I didn't call you. She's now blocked this number from her phone. Her fear was that her cell number had just been added to a phone list. Comments on that?
That sounds a lot like what is called neighbor spoofing. And that is where a scam artist is spoofing the phone number, making that caller ID appearance represent a different phone number. And they've really started using other local numbers and they're grabbing them out of the air in some cases. And that entices the person they're calling to answer the phone. That increases that likelihood because you think it's your neighbor, you think it's the local store, and you're going to respond to that versus seeing it's from some state you've never traveled to. So it's another method of scam artists trying to get you to pick up the phone and engage in that phone call.
Yeah, and I hate it.
I hear you. It's technically illegal, but it's tracking back who made that call. So reporting them to Consumer Protection is still important because we work with the Federal Trade Commission and other state partners to track back. And we work with the Federal Communications Commission as well. But it gets difficult when they're not allowing the phone number they're actually calling from to appear on that caller ID.
I have an app that identifies scams or scam numbers, but it doesn't, it's high, and it doesn't work for local numbers or very much, if you know what I'm...
Right, it doesn't have, because they're just randomly grabbing one, so they're probably not on the blacklist yet. That feeds into those apps, and those apps generate off the Federal Trade Commission's list of scam numbers that are being called, and they do daily downloads, some of them, and some do monthly from the list that the FTC releases as scam numbers that are calling. So those reports from consumers are so important because we feed into that. And so it'll just increase the numbers that get blocked.
Talking today with Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, looking at consumer issues today and how to try and be scam-free in 2018. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht, as we look at consumer scam issues. An open line, or maybe two even, for you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Let's go to Stella in Sturgeon Bay next. Stella, thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to share, I made a number of years ago, I made the mistake of responding to push number 3 if you want to be removed from this list, robocall. And then we started getting like 20, 30 robocalls, scams a day. And so what we did was we just put a short message on our answering machine and we screen all of our calls. Unless we do now have caller ID. We didn't at that time. But we, unless we recognize the name of the person calling, we just let the answering machine pick up. And if there's a real person there, then we pick up. And we warn everybody when we give out, you know, when we give someone our number for them to call us back, we tell them that we receive a lot of scam robocalls, and so we have a short message on our answering machine. Please just wait for the beep and start talking, and if we're here, we'll pick up right away, and if we aren't, you can leave a message. And since then, we have almost no scam robocalls.
Oh, well, that's good to hear, Michelle.
That's great. That's great to hear. That's one of the techniques that I use as well with my landline, because I still have a landline.
Oh.
If I need to talk to the person, they'll leave that message or I can call them back in type situation. But that answering machine allows you to pick up during that call, and people know in advance that I'll grab it if I'm home. Same type of situation. And it prevents that pressing a button or engaging in that phone call in any way, which can lead to those lead lists that just get sold to scam artists, and you experience that side of it as well. So great job.
Yeah, thank you, Stella. Appreciate the call. Sandy in Waukesha, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. I agree with the last caller, but the previous caller mentioned, or the guest mentioned, that local numbers can get spoofed and, you know, that you could block them. And my comment was, and I just got one within a half hour ago, but the problem is that if you report it as a spam number and it's actually a spoof number, and the spammer moves on, you know, in a day or a week or a month to a different number, you may have blocked somebody that someday you actually want to hear from.
Yeah.
So there's a risk in, you know, if I get an 800 number, I'll block it. But local number, it could actually be somebody that, you know, is a good number.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true, isn't it?
That is. I mean, that's absolutely the counter side of that. If someone moves in to the neighborhood with that number or you know, picks up that number, that is a counter. But I do encourage to still report it. So even if you're not going to block it, still report that scam calls are coming from that number, not because we'll trace back to that person, but it'll help us circulate what numbers are being used and in what markets and where the scam artists are traveling to, because they like to travel within area codes throughout the state and regions, and it allows us to get warnings and messaging out there.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandy, for calling. Appreciate it. Deborah from Verona emailed to say she found out when renewing her Wisconsin's license plate that she could get a site called DMV.org, and they will renew your license for a lot more than what the DMV.gov site will. She doesn't think this is a scam, but was surprised it even existed. Michelle, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, we've actually, over the period of time that we've been on the show, heard other callers talk about this. And this is one of those situations where that .com, .org, .gov become really important. And some legitimate businesses are out there at different extensions that look like government and offer to do services for you that you can do for yourself for a fee. So if you get to dmv.gov, you're doing it yourself and you're going to pay that fee. But at the .org, someone's doing it for you. They're going to have your information and serving as middleman. That happens to be... We've heard from others, you actually get the renewal and it happens, but it could just as easily be an imposter DMV where you hand over your information and nothing happens. So you hand over information and money and nothing is happening. So it's really important to just, if you Google, you know, Wisconsin DMV, pay real close attention to those extensions. Is it a look-alike website or is it actually the state government? Those extensions so critical because you can, you know, pay for ads and be more upfront than the government's going to be on that search return. So really paying close attention to those things.
Jan in Appleton, your turn now. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I just wanted to alert you and your guests about a scam that my husband and I experienced with the Performing Arts Center here in Appleton. My husband got a notification that there are tickets available for a show, which if you've been there to a show, they'll send you alerts on your email. And we clicked on the site and started looking for seats and noticed that the fees were just astronomical. And we were a little concerned and thought my husband just said, you know, I'll bet you this is a scam. And sure enough, we went to the Performing Arts Center, the real site, and of course the fees were very reasonable. So, and it was a look-alike site, which you just mentioned in the previous call. You wouldn't have known the difference, except the fees were just like triple what they would be if you went directly through the Performing Arts Center. So I just want to make everybody aware that, shoot, they're out there now for that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Shoot, they're out there for that now. Yeah, we've certainly heard about it for shipping scams and many other look-alike activities, the government sites. So now to be out there for just performing arts entertainment aspects. So what we always talk about with the other things is when you get an email and it looks great and something you're interested in, go use your own reference information. They go to the Performing Arts Center, maybe they're members. So go type in the web address yourself as you know it to be. Use your bookmark, your favorite, so you get directly there, can see what's available. They'd likely give you a use this coupon code or whatever if there's a deal, so you could type that in as well, versus using any links that are in the email. Because the links in the email, who knows where it's taking you to, a lookalike, an imposter website, and then who knows what information you're going to have to hand over.
And it might be, let's say Brewers tickets, for example. You can go online and get Brewers tickets from, not from the Brewers themselves, but from others, and it's legitimate, but you pay a lot more. It's going back to what you were talking about earlier.
Right.
That they're actually legitimate, but you're going to pay for it.
Right, because those tickets might be in demand, but then there's a company doing a business, so they need to make some money in above what the tickets actually cost them.
Sure. Thanks, Jan. Diane in New Auburn, we'll go to you next. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I would like to just caution people about unsubscribing from an email they're getting that they don't really recognize and don't want anymore. I had one coming in, once or twice a week about homes, and I was not at all interested in that. And after delete, 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 I got tired of it, went down to the bottom, said unsubscribe, which I did. And within about 5 minutes after that, things that came in, one or two things, had some very strange characters, like they almost looked like, say, Chinese or something like that. I don't know what. But I just got a little bit suspicious about that. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a connection or not, but it was.
Probably.
And then I noticed some other things that came in that had, like, the words, say, for example, G-H-E-R-E. Instead of a T, there might be this kind of funny hieroglyphic-looking sort of letter. I don't know what. So that's just weird, the timing.
Yeah. So what do you think? Jared, were you?
Well, my first thought when I heard that was, if you've got a suspicious email or an email, it sounds like these weren't ones that you intended to be getting in the first place.
Yeah.
If you've got an unsubscribe link at the bottom, if you hover your mouse very carefully over a URL, the actual web link, you should see at the bottom of the screen in most browsers where it's going to take you. It's possible that the place it was going to take you was in no way related to where you already were or anywhere you would want to be. That happens a lot when you see emails that are questionable. For example, we've seen emails where I'm waffling here on the shipping emails. That's the exact one. You were just mentioning shipping emails. So you'll go and you'll get an email that you think is maybe from FedEx, for example, and it'll have a link in it, and that'll be the only thing that asks you to do. If you hover your mouse over that and you see at the bottom, it won't take you to FedEx. It won't take you to any kind of shipping place. It'll take you completely off the grid to somewhere you don't want to be. So the first thought I had was, I would wonder if the link in that email that she received was indicative in its own right that it wasn't legitimate, but that's an interesting scenario.
Yeah, I'm always real careful in unsubscribing to things as well. If it's something I know I've signed up for or a place that I've purchased from in the past and I forgot to unclick the box that says give me all the advertising, I'll unsubscribe to those. But if they're emails out of the blue I don't recognize, it's nothing I've ever done business with or have no recollection, I just let them go to junk and then trash them out. I don't deal with those emails at all, because who knows what happens if you start responding to clicking on. So then they just slowly disappear over time, or they just go to junk and I don't have to deal with them.
There we go. Thank you, Diane, for calling. Appreciate it very much. You can join in too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Have you been scammed or have a question about it? I hope you'll join in. Charles in La Crosse up next. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm calling from La Crosse, but I'm calling about harassment calls from somebody trying to tell me about my computer that I got a virus. And I even got the number. It's an 815-267-6990, and it says it's for Jacqueline Carzoli. And I know that's probably not her. But I got those calls, I think it was a couple of days before this past weekend or last weekend, before New Year's. And they must have called at least five or six times during the day. And then all of a sudden we started getting them again, I think it was yesterday. And I finally answered the call, which was like after 6 o'clock at night. And I told them, after they said they were telling me that I got a virus on my computer, I just told them, you have to quit harassing me with your calls. And I told them that I'm going to call the FCC and tell them that you're doing this. And today I have not gotten any of those calls. So I just was wanting to let you know that even though you get all these calls and, like, I take them as harassment calls. They keep calling and calling and calling. I thought maybe they would have quit after the new year, but we still were getting them.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd just let you know that I did answer the call, but I told them that I'm going to call the FCC.
Well, maybe it worked, or maybe it didn't, Michelle.
Exactly. You know, great if there was a live body that paid attention and had a list to remove him from versus an auto dialer that's just repeating for having not answered. But be prepared, I guess, Charles, that the phone may ring again and they may be calling again and ignoring your request to stop. And just try not to engage. But I do encourage you to call our consumer protection and report the number that they're coming from. I did write it down, but if we have the report directly from you, that'd be good. 1-800-422-7128, because then we can share that information with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, because that number, you know, sounds more like one they call from than some of the different spoofed numbers that are out there. So, you know, talking about it and reporting it and just keeping your guard up to hang up on those is great.
So 1-800-422-7128.
Yes,
that number.
To report it or file a complaint.
Let's go to Kian in Madison next. Hi, Kian. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you, Larry, for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
So yesterday, I received a call from my friend. She's being called by this company called Premier Student Loan Forgiveness. So those folks are promising my friend to help reduce student loan payment and even lower the payments unbelievably. So I don't know if this is legit or legal. And I even checked on the Better Business Bureau website. They are ranking A+ on the website. And it looked very weird to me. So I was calling to see if you guys can help my friend figure out if this is another form of scam, if it is legal or not.
All right. Cam, thank you so much for calling. Michelle, let's go back to you.
Well, so some different thoughts is, so great job checking it out with the Better Business Bureau. I'd encourage you to call Consumer Protection to see if we have any complaints as well. But then, you know, you really need to look at the offer that they'd be providing you, because there are many student loan forgiveness, debt forgiveness, or reduction of payment scams out there. So get everything in writing from the company before you sign anything, agree to anything, or pay any money. Know that you should understand the program before you pay. I mean, because you'd be paying for a service. So know what it is they're going to be doing and how that's going to work and for how long. But everything in writing, check them out, review all the documents, and know what you're signing beforehand. And then in addition to checking them out with us, we usually encourage consumers to go out there and Google or Bing and type the company name in with complaints. You know, just add that word complaint so you can see feedback from others who've used the service as well to see if they're having any issues with the company.
Yeah, good ideas. And you know, maybe the Premier Student Loan Forgiveness is legitimate, but what if they spelled Premier wrong, or they spelled forgiveness wrong, and it's not really who they said they were?
Absolutely. And you wouldn't know that from just a phone call that's out of the blue. But we've had callers in the past that didn't even have student loan debt who've gotten. So they're just out there doing mass solicitations. In some cases, some of these companies are doing that.
Chris posted that she got a Facebook message from somebody she knows with a hook about something they had been discussing. For a minute, she got engaged, and then when the person asked her for security information so FedEx could send her $300,000, she realized it wasn't her friend. This person then started texting her. She took the number and reported them. So, Jared, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, that certainly is. That goes back to our initial point in the beginning here about red flags to look out for. You've got an unsolicited request for personal information, and you're also tied to a FedEx is going to deliver her $300,000 out of the blue. So this is clearly a scam. It's great to see that was spotted as such. I find the hook element interesting. where that hook came from necessarily. So
it's almost like they must have been, if they were scanning her Facebook page somehow, and saw a previous message from this other person, that's about the only way I could think that they'd be able to do that.
Yeah, and crooks do use information from your social media accounts. We see that when we talk about grandparent scams, the scam where older folks get phone calls, particularly around spring break time. People will call and say that they are a relative who's in danger and needs money immediately for help. The story that the caller is claiming to be the grandchild, they can get the information they need to form that ploy from a social media account. So this also speaks to what we talked about earlier with Data Privacy Day. The stuff you put on your social media account, particularly if it's set to public, that's out there and that's available for anyone to access. And that could be used, well, in this case, it could be used against you.
We have, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Dave and Appleton a chance to join us as well. Dave, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Thank you very much. I just have a question about the Federal Trade Commission. I found an email address at their website where you can send spam, and I get probably half the email I get is not legitimate. So I used to forward everything to them, and it's been hundreds, if not thousands, of email messages, and yet I continue to get the same the spam from the same email. I was just wondering why they haven't done anything about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't speak specifically for the FTC. I'm at the state level, but my understanding is you're forwarding information to them at their spam email where they want to receive that, and they're processing, they're analyzing, they're looking for trends. You won't hear back from them on individual mediations or complaints, but they're tracking, and depending upon what tidbits and information and bytes and things that they can retrieve, you may still continue to receive the same emails. I mean, they're looking at data across the nation and prioritizing kind of the highest, so yours
may not be in the highest.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there
but
we go.
Continue to feed them that information.
Sure. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at consumer scams with our guests from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht. Great to have them along, and thanks for listening in. Judy in Franklin has something for us, so let's go there. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, and thank you. I wanted to add a comment to the person who called, the comment being made about somebody claiming to be a son or a daughter or a grandchild.
Right.
I got one of those. And unfortunately for me at the time, this person sounded exactly like my grandson, who had a very distinct voice. And I did not go through with the whole thing, but he called me a number of times. And I swear to God, if I had taken a recording of his voice and compared it against a recording of my actual grandson's voice, it would have been almost identical.
Wow.
And I'm sure that they can pick some of that up also from social media, but that was the first time that had ever happened to me, and it was a real wake-up call.
Oh, boy.
I would ask Judy, that's fantastic that you recognized it for what it was. I'm wondering, what tipped you off eventually that it was a scam?
That they claimed to be in jail. They claimed to need a certain amount of money to be able to be released because they had impounded the car, so on and so forth. And it was about $800. And they asked for it specifically in a certain form of payment. In other words, a cashier's check wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. A MoneyGram wouldn't work. They asked for it in a specific form of payment, which was one of these cards that you buy at, say, Walmart,
yeah.
and you put money onto.
Yeah, the prepaid debit cards, sure.
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, prepaid debit cards and wire transfers. Those are your two big
tip
payment
offs.
Red flags there, yeah. yeah.
And I got a total of 3 calls before I didn't get any more calls. And then I checked with my daughter, and she said that she was pretty sure he hadn't called. And she ended up talking to him, and he said, no, he hadn't called me. But the voice was so incredibly real.
Wow. Well, good for you.
But I just thought, you know, you don't think, if you hear a familiar voice, you're keyed to answer to that voice.
Yeah. And but in this case, the method of payment was the big tip-off.
Right.
Yeah.
And the repeated calls.
Yeah.
They could only call at a certain time.
Mm. Right.
Judy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope lots of grandparents are listening in right now and taking note of that. Dee in West Bend, your turn. Hi, Dee.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I have been scammed twice, once with a computer virus and once with a vacation thing, and we made the mistake of paying for them with our credit card, but and then realizing they were probably scams. So we called our credit card company, and they resolved the one computer issue and the vacation scam. The company backed off of it. But it's a smart thing to pay with your credit card because they will also help you resolve scams.
Very good point. Michelle?
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. That's what we totally encourage using the credit card because there are protections. I mean, if you disagree or dispute a charge that appears within 60 days of when it posts to your bill, or a few minutes later find out, boy, that just wasn't right, you call the credit card company and they can stop payment. They can do disputes. They have investigative teams. They can look at their own patterns and trends of consumers filing disputes and cut companies off as well. So that is a normal method of payment to make. It's not that wiring money that you just can't track and get back. A credit card is something that you can reverse.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, I try to pay everything I can pay via credit card as opposed to a debit card.
Right, because a debit card, again, is more like cash. It's still
yes.
an electronic payment. But in some debit cards have some protections, but they're typically not as complete and full as credit cards.
Thanks again to Dee. Let's go to Ward in Appleton now. Ward, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. If you're browsing with whatever Internet Explorer, Chrome, whatever browser you use, and you get a window that comes up that you want to get rid of, normally you'll just click on the red X in the top right corner. Occasionally, however, the really smart, bad sites, like the ones who say your computer has a virus or something, if you try doing that, they'll come up with a small window saying, do you really want to leave? And that little window won't have a red X. So don't click on those little windows because you're installing whatever the virus is that they have that will let them take charge of your computer. However, if when you have one of those windows, you go down to your bar at the bottom, right-click, and start Task Manager, that is a safe way to get rid of the window. You just look for your Internet Explorer, Chrome, whatever browser you're using, and delete those processes one by one. And then eventually they'll all be gone, and you can go back to normal browsing.
Oh, that sounds exactly right to me, Michelle.
It was a very good explanation, and I appreciate your giving that. I would have needed my computer in front of me to do it step by step. But that's great because you need to be so careful about what you click on in a pop-up, and when they don't give you the X, they say, oh, hit the close button, but hitting that close button isn't really closing, it's executing. So thank you for sharing that for everyone.
So thanks, Ward. I appreciate it very much. We turn to Steve in Waterford next. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I'm glad to be on. I just wanted to share an experience that I had some time ago. where I contacted the FCC. And the long and short of the story was, and actually the FBI as well, and the long and short of the story was, they said most of the time these attacks are occurring from outside of the United States. They have little to no jurisdiction. And so, you know, they just said practice safe browsing.
Yeah, and that's correct.
That is correct, but we continue to ask consumers to report because there are, if you can believe this, there's lookalikes of the scam artists. So there's individuals who will learn what the big latest scam is and copycat it and try and make their own small fortune off of it. But not only that, the Federal Trade Commission certainly works with their international partners. They have done that with Jamaica. They have done that with India as it related to breaking up FTC call rings. So, you know, while they may not have jurisdiction, they are certainly trying to work to minimize the activities that are happening. So it's good to continue to report. And then prevention, you putting in place best practice behavior so you just don't fall victim to anything.
Yeah. Thanks again, Steve, for calling. Paul in Onalaska, it's your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hey. I thought I would just call and let you guys know about a pretty sophisticated scam that I recently it didn't get taken advantage of, but it was pretty crazy. I was out of town and we were staying in a hotel visiting some family, and I got a phone call one morning. And when I answered, they're like, well, is this room 215? And I'm like, yeah, whatever room it was. And they're like, oh, well, this is the front desk. We don't seem to have a credit card on file for your incidentals. Do you mind giving that to me? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? We must have had it there before. And they just kept saying, well, we need your incidentals. We need it now. I'm like now, now? He's like, no. He's like, we need to get your card on file so I can get this into corporate or whatever it was. And so long story short, I didn't give him my number, and I asked him, like, well, how do I know you're even you? He's like, well, because I am. And I'm like, well, I'll be down to the front desk. I'm not going to give it to you over the phone. And he was like, well, all right, well, hurry up and type of thing. And then he just hung up, and that was the end of it. Turns out he must have had some information from somewhere, and he knew our room number. And so he called the hotel. The hotel forwarded the call to our room, and the hotel traced back the number. It was a 1-800 number, and they didn't really have anything to go on from there. But it was pretty sneaky.
Oh, boy.
So watch out.
Yeah, watch out.
You know, I don't know where it is, but I have heard of this before. It's certainly not common, but have heard of, you know, individuals, guests at hotels that have gotten a call from the front desk, air quotes, that need the computer crashed. We need to update your credit card information. Exactly the right moves. I'll come down to the front desk and deal with it. That was a perfect move right there to not deal with it over the phone.
I have a relative that actually fell for that. The call was in the middle of the night, or he goes to bed early. For him, it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So we woke up a bit groggy. You know, they said they just needed to update the card they had on file. There was a problem with the card when they ran it when he checked in. Didn't seem like a big deal. He gave him the number and went back to bed and immediately thought, that doesn't seem right at all. So to Michelle's point, this guy, you know, Paul, you did a great job just going down and say, or claiming at least you're going to go to the front desk and resolve it there, because that's, you know, that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah. And one other on the front desk, I had a relative who was visiting New York for the first time and was on about the 15th floor of a hotel and got a call saying, oh, we need you down on the front, at the front desk. I forget what the, whatever it was. Anyway, she went down to the front desk and they said, well, we don't know. There was nothing. And so she went back upstairs. And probably what happened, the person, as she just letting the door shut on its own, stuck their foot in the door, got in, took her purse or whatever. I forget what they took, but they took something and were in and out of the, and they were gone before she even got back.
Sure, that's crafty criminal activity.
Well, so now when I leave my hotel room door, I always just pull it shut.
Yeah, just wait. Hear the click, check it, move on.
I because of that, I do that every single time. I wait for that click, and sometimes they check, sometimes they don't. But when I hear that click, okay, now I can leave. Oh, my goodness me. Joan in Neshkoro, your turn. Hi.
Well, I got a call from a supposed grandson a while back, and he was in trouble, of course, needed money right away. And I said, well, okay, what are your sister's names? He said, well, don't you know my sister's names? I says, I do, but do you? I said, if you don't, this is a scam. And he hung up.
Ah!
Do you read our press releases?
That's a good way to deal with these supposed, you know, it had been my grandson, I would have gladly sent money, but he would have known his sister's names.
Yeah.
I think Joanne's listened to this program once or twice.
Joanne,
that's exactly what you should do. That's excellent.
And at least he just hung up on you then.
Well, yeah.
Right. And that's very similar to setting up kind of a security word for the family, a passphrase, something if you're traveling. So if something really does happen, you can respond, but being real careful not to hand out any information as you're asking for it.
Good for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here, but just a reminder, Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection, Jared Albrecht, Senior Communications Specialist, both with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. As I said, we'll take a break for the news, and then we will be back. They'll be with us till 12:30. You stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, taking a look at consumer scam issues with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Questions, experiences to share, give a call at 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page. Aaron and Mequon up next. Let's go there. Hi, Aaron. Aaron, are you with us?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So one of the things I wanted to say is I called a company to order something off their catalog, and another person answered the phone saying I had won $1,000 from Walmart. I was the whatever call, you know, number of call. And it didn't make sense to me that they would be saying this, and he said, no, it's fine, and then he said, I just need your credit card number to charge $1 for us to send it to you. And as soon as he said he needed my credit card number, I just said no, and hung up. But every time I tried to call that number, they would answer it, and I finally got through to the company and told them what was happening, and they had no idea that that was happening.
Wow.
So, I don't know how they were able to do that, you know, because I was calling the company directly.
That's interesting. How did that work, Michelle? Any ideas?
I have heard of numbers being hijacked before. I've also heard of, you know, you're one number off, you know, somewhere in it where you just misdial by one number, an extra five instead of the six type situation, and it bumps off that way and looks like it's the same number. But that is very interesting to me, but, you know, you recognized a credit card needed to win a prize. You don't have to pay if you've won something and just got disconnected the call, but it makes me wonder how many people they actually hooked in on that. And
yeah.
Great job getting to the company and getting it reported, because I'm sure they worked with the telecommunications carrier to shut it down.
Yeah.
But if you ever encounter something like that again, or if any listeners do, be sure to report it to us, because we can then help work with everyone to get it shut down as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Aaron. And, you know, I was thinking about this. The last couple of weeks, I've been getting emails all the time about the $1,000 Amazon gift card that I have supposedly won, which I never bother to click with. Why would they want to give me $1,000?
Well, that's one that we usually do see around the holidays, right, before, and so your timing on it aligns very nicely with what we've heard in the past. And again, big value, $1,000.
Yeah.
Popular store, you know, it's either a Walmart like hers was or Amazon, very popular place, universal in reach to consumers, and too good to be true. You would probably have to, if you clicked on it, hand over your personal information, fill out four pages of survey, and never see that card. That's how the scam worked before.
A lot of those have been talking about so-called reward programs that the companies claim to have, and it may be businesses you don't even shop with, but now all of a sudden they're claiming you're a rewards member and you've got this big prize coming to you. So those are good examples of ones where you go and maybe there's only one link in it, and if you hover your mouse over it, you'll see the link will take you off into kind of no man's land. So,
Steve in Eagle, it's your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Actually, I have a few scams I could tell you guys about that I got nailed with one, but then I got really smart on all of them. One of them was actually for my computer. It was for a company called TowerTech, which was a legit company, but they were actually hacked into, where they were taking people's information and fixing your computer and putting all these programs in it that would help with spyware and all that. But I got a little suspicious, so I called my friend, who was actually a computer programmer, and he looked at my computer and literally found enough viruses in there that I could never have gotten away using my credit card, my passwords. Everything was basically taken. So I had to get all that taken off, and I actually had to get new credit cards issued and everything like that, because they got me for $600 and some. And then a year later, they called me back saying, well, the federal government says we have to return the money to you, and we're going to give you your money back, but we're going to give you $1,000, and you need to give me $400 in iTunes cards for us to give you that money. And he was like, all I need is the numbers on the back of it. And I said, I'm not giving you those numbers, because as soon as I give them to you, you have access to the money, and you can do whatever you want. And he got pissed off at it. They hacked into my computer and actually locked it. And I had to take back into my friend and have him unlock it with his USB drive to take on all the passwords that they used to lock it. So that was one of the scams. And then there was actually another one. It's I bought a car from a dealership, and they sold my information. And this company keeps calling me. I don't even own the car anymore. I actually got rid of it. And they would call and say, this is your car. This is the information we have on it. Your warranty is about to expire. And all that. And I told them, I said, okay, well, how about this? Explain to me my car and what you guys cover. And they did, but they made one critical error. My car was a manual transmission, not automatic. So they said everything was covered. If they had every information on my vehicle, they would have known that it was a stick shift and you can't cover half my vehicle.
No. Very interesting.
They sure are. One, the extended auto warranty phone calls, mailers, that has been hitting Wisconsin pretty heavy for 2017, and it started at the end of 16. Primarily mailers, but then the phone calls started as well. And they do. They have that basic information about your vehicle, because they're able to obtain that information through different lists. And then they put this great urgency. It's about to expire, and you may not even own the vehicle anymore, because they're using current records, past records, anything they get their hands on. And so it looks legitimate to a consumer. But, you know, go back, figure out what you purchased, what your real warranty was. Did you actually ever buy an extended warranty for it to even expire? And think through that, and then report it to us. The other one, you know, that whole combination, I really appreciate the sharing of the story, because it reminds everyone you need to run your antivirus software, you need to check your computer, the whole data privacy day coming up at the end of the month, and starting with that clean machine, and then the precautions you take when you're out on the internet controlling your digital footprint. But you can't always do it alone, and sometimes you need a friend, family member, or a professional that you know and trust to help you, not someone calling you out of the blue, but not falling for the you're locked down and unless you pay me by gift card, which is not how companies do business, we're going to hold you ransom. I mean, that's the ransomware situation. So hold you hostage there.
Thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. On Facebook, Marie wonders if there's any information about taking profiles on single sites like OkCupid, POF, and et cetera. I've encountered several that are not legitimately real people searching for a partner. I don't engage because they're obvious to me. I block and report. Can these sites do anything about this?
Well, each site probably monitors or controls themselves separately as to what kind of background checks and confirmation. And that's something when you are choosing to use a social media site, whether it be for dating or singles or whatever, you need to look at the privacy policies up front. You need to look at what they say they do with regards to background checks and protecting member profiles and actually confirming member profiles, and always be very cautious. And that goes beyond consumer protection. That goes to law enforcement, health and safety for yourself and meeting people. Because we've seen, you know, years ago, some romance scams that went really wrong and ended up being for high dollar value, you know, consumers just paid to meet the person because they were having a hardship and couldn't fly over. And then there was a medical problem and it could lead to many things. And that is a scam that plays very heavily on emotions. So you don't always know that the person is legitimate. And every year we hear stories about that.
Steve in Green Bay has something for us. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mr. Larry. We at our house, there's next to the phone, there is the local FBI number. And whether I get the call or my wife, if you think it's a scam, I just say, well, my wife deals with all the money. You know, here's her phone number. Can you just give her a call? She'll be, you know, she'll take care of it. And she does the same for me. And then they end up dialing the local FBI agent. That's normally the last you ever hear of it.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah, that's a creative way.
Can backfire.
Oh, it could. It could. But if the FBI is going to get the call and act on that, that's great.
Yeah. I do recall once when you were on, somebody got into it with one of these scam callers and finally just hung up after a lot of back and forth, and then the police showed up at his door because the person had gotten angry about it and called the local police and said there was a disturbance at this guy's address.
Yeah.
So,
you know, being careful with that because of social media and access to information being so prevalent that you have to be careful about what that scam artist knows about you and what their vindictiveness may be to something like that. Yeah. I mean, it should be an underlying concern, I think.
Yeah. Steve, thanks. Appreciate the call very much. But I kind of like the FBI number. That's a
that's a tough one because it sounds a little fun.
Nikki in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is one that I'm actually still dealing with. It just happened at the end of September. It started in October. I was actually on Indeed.com, a job website, and I had gotten an offer, and the woman had emailed me, you know, her information that she was from HR, from an insurance company that I would hopefully be working for. And they kept giving me the runaround, and I didn't really realize it until at the end, when everything had happened, because I was so excited to be starting a new job, to hopefully do better with my life. And they kept having me, they sent out a check that actually ended up being a false check. And they had me deposit the check into my account and then take all the money out. From there, he had me send the money to at least three different states. I was told to buy three different iTunes gift cards, that they would be going to kids for their birthdays at a foster home, just this whole elaborate story. And it ended up actually, the check actually ended up being fake, and I ended up being out $3,000 from my bank account, all because of a false advertisement for a job.
Oh, that is very, very sad, but it's something that I think, Jared, we've heard about these kinds of things happening.
Oh, yeah, they're generally just referred to as fake check scams. You'll see them for fake job listings. You'll see them for Craigslist sales a lot of times. Someone will contact you about an item you're selling for $500, and they'll say, well, let me just send you $1,500, and could you just cash the check and then, you know, send me the remainder back? Or they'll have some reason why they need a portion of it sent somewhere else. So, yeah, unfortunately, that type of a ruse is fairly common.
And in this case, you know, here's Nikki's... needs a job, wants a new job, and probably isn't flush for cash, and winds up costing her $3,000. I'm really sorry, Nikki, but thanks for letting us know and for letting our listeners know. Yeah, about this kind of situation. Judy and Racine, let's go to you next. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a landline, and I also have caller ID. And I'm just curious. Sometimes it will pop up and say private number, and sometimes it says unknown name. What's the difference?
You know, private number, unknown name.
So private number, we have certain lines at the office that are private number because they're just, they're blocked with the telecommunications carrier to not disclose on caller IDs. And people can pay for that service. I mean, that's something that you can ask for. Sometimes you can do it individually per call if you don't want to be known when making the call. Maybe you also pay to have your number unpublished. So it's going to be a private number. Unknown name may be where it's coming from in the exchange. And this is getting very technical, and it's not quite the area that we work in the technology behind the blocking. But unknown name could be that it's not recognized who's it assigned to or if it's loaned out type situation, depending upon switches and how the whole telecommunication industry is working. So you want to watch for, I mean, an unknown name could just be that they haven't assigned it, and that could be one of those telemarketers out there just making those calls, and you can avoid those if you want and kind of adopt the policy if you have the answering machine of wait to see what the message is and pick it up while they're still talking if it's someone you need to be interacting with.
Judy, thanks again. Ann and Spooner up next. Ann, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you so very much for this very informative program. I have been hearing recently about the scammers who can get your information from your credit card, even if your card is in your pocket. They can be standing next to you in line or in an elevator or something. Can they do that to all credit or debit cards? Or could you please talk about that a little bit?
So that's getting into, I'm going to be very surface because it's getting into technology, but heard about it first, I think, in Europe, in the fact that when they went to chip and pins, there's RFID readers out there that if you walk by can obtain or skim some information off the card, whereas when it's the mag strip, you actually have to swipe it to get that information and have the skimmers collect it versus these chip readers, if you will. Yes, it exists. It's commonality. It's much less. It's going to be in very populated, dense areas where it makes sense for this to happen. You know, a New York City, a Los Angeles, where there's big crowds. They do sell different sleeves. You can put your credit card in that would protect those readers from being able to pick up the information. But I think, you know, it's good to be aware and be cautious and know this, but instead monitoring your bill, making sure that you sign up for the alerts that your credit card company offers you about activities on your card, that will be one way to minimize prevention and stopping things immediately.
I've got the app for my credit card, and so whenever something gets charged to my card, I immediately get a notice, and that's really nice.
Right, because you're going to know if it says gas in Texas and you're sitting up here in Wisconsin, well, that didn't happen, and you can report it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get on the phone. Ann, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had... we got a lot of things that we can still talk about here. One of the things was the Equifax. That is, there was some things that are coming to an end regarding that Equifax problem.
Yeah, so they had their big data breach in September, and then they unveiled more data that had been breached a little later, about a month later. 145 million consumers impacted, and you could go out and check to see if you were impacted or not and sign up for free credit monitoring, get free credit freeze, security freeze from on your credit report from them. You'd have to pay for the other two credit reporting agencies. But their free offerings end January 31. And you did not have to be impacted by the breach to take advantage of these. So whatever your plan is for scam-free and securing your information for 2018, if you haven't yet acted on that, a reminder that January 31 is when you need to do that. So if you're interested, go to Equifax.com. They will then link you to being able to check to see if you were impacted by the breach. They'll have the link for signing up for the free monitoring. And then also if you want to put the security freeze on your account. But then if you put the security freeze there, for it to work properly, you need to go do it with the other two credit reporting agencies, Experian and TransUnion as well.
One other thing in the last minute or so that we've got, there's lots of us planning trips for spring break this year, and I know there's always some red flags out there regarding trips.
Yeah, so in the last few minutes to sum it down, and we can talk more about it in February as well because there'll still be time, but be sure you know who you're doing business with and how your reservations and bookings are actually occurring and confirm them. So we've seen some cases that the Federal Trade Commission settled where there were third-party hotel room sellers that were making misrepresentations about how your reservation was actually being booked, when they were going to charge your credit card, cancellation issues. And really, they were, as a third-party person, working with another interim, you know, mediator, and they weren't working directly with the hotel. So they were picking up, you know, spare rooms off of like an Expedia type situation or a Priceline or Orbit. So really understand who you're doing business with and then how those things actually get booked all the way through. But then once you've done your business and done your booking, if you haven't worked directly with the hotel, rental car company, airline, go confirm with them that you actually have a seat, a bed, a car, a steering wheel to use. And then that you confirm on your credit card when it's charged, what kind of insurance or protections that you will have, and that the prices are what were represented to you in what they're going to charge you as well, and there's no extra administrative fees or anything like that.
Wow. So we've covered a lot today, Jared and Michelle, and I want to thank you both so much for being with us. And you're back on the 1st of February, so look forward to that visit. Thank you.
That'll be great.
Thanks, Lee.
Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection will be back on February 1st, and we'll do it all over again. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, plant guru Tova Martin will be with us to share some tips on keeping those holiday plants healthy. So I hope you'll join us for that. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.